saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
So this morning I'm checking the news and I come across an article over at The Guardian. The headline reads, National Parks at 100. Climate change will mean the end of national parks as we know them. And they point out that after a century, the national parks are no longer just keeping hunters away and tending to the trails and helping people navigate through. They're actually worried about the loss of glaciers. They're worried about sea level rise and, well, all of these massive wildfires across our 412 national parks and monuments. And it got me thinking, you know, again, that climate change thing, kind of real. What we're seeing down in Louisiana with the climate deniers saying, hey, give us money, but we're not going to change any of our policy. Maybe we should be thinking about how do we move to a cleaner, greener, renewable energy economy, and what would that look like here in Pennsylvania? That's why I have asked Sharon Piller to come talk with us. She's a clean energy consultant currently working with the Environmental Entrepreneurs Group, or E2, their website, E2.org, about, you know, what would this look like here in Pennsylvania? Sharon, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be on your show, Rick.
So we look at these stories and we see all of these horrible catastrophes. To me, it just seems, Sharon, that the logical thing to do is maybe get off of the dirty stuff and use what is easily available, what is readily available, and what is clean and green and good. It just seems logical to me.
That sounds like a very good answer, Rick. And some of the stories around climate change are extremely disheartening, and we do need to start shifting the way we are using our energy. But we actually have that technology, and it's been around for many years. And so we can start doing that, or we are doing that, and we can do more of it.
Yeah, but again, it comes back to policy, doesn't it? I mean, I go back to as a kid watching Jimmy Carter and remembering the news of Carter putting solar panels on the roof to provide all the hot water for the White House, only to have Reagan come in 86, rip it out and ship it off to some college up in New England and really send that message that, no, we're not going to do this smart stuff, not doing that.
Yeah, it was very disheartening. I remember that as well. But it's a new day too, and a lot of this technology, while it's been around for a long time, such as solar energy, has actually advanced dramatically, and we're now, you know, seeing this huge increase in adoption of renewable energy. And in fact, this year is the first year that renewables will be producing more new electricity in the United States than any other source, more than gas or coal for new electricity. So it's a really exciting time at this point in history.
And it's important because, you know, all the voices out there saying, you know, there are those people who want that clean energy stuff, just want us to be standing around in the dark. No, we can literally fuel our economy with renewable energy, and we're not going to suck all the sun out of the sun, not going to take all the wind away. There's common sense stuff that can be done, right? And we have the technology to do it.
We do, and that's why they're called renewable sources. They're sort of endless, right? And those technologies energy drives our economy. We all know that. And Pennsylvania has been a leader in the energy field for, you know, since the beginning of the industrial age. And I think it's still a major player in that energy field. But that has come at a cost to Pennsylvania. And we now have this opportunity to rebuild that or transition into this economy and still keep the lights on and also conserve energy at the same time. And all of that and create jobs around it at the same time.
And that's great news. So how many jobs? I know you guys have put out this report, the Clean Jobs PA report. How many jobs in clean energy, if we did smart things, if we had smart policy makers here in Harrisburg who got off their duffs and fixed the crisis that they've created, how many jobs could we create if we got Republicans and the naysayers out of the way?
Well, we already know from this report that E2 had done in collaboration with the Keystone Energy Efficiency Alliance and VW Research Partnership showing that we already have 66,000 Pennsylvanians working in the clean energy sector across almost 6,000 companies. And that's from, you know, a large portion of that is about 80% are from energy efficiency jobs and companies that are doing work like high energy efficiency HVAC systems to creating manufacturing Energy Star appliances or installing them, energy efficiency lighting and installing insulation and weatherization, to things like what we think about, solar and wind and hydro electricity, but also clean vehicles. And now we're moving into energy storage around batteries and smart grid technology. So this is a huge, diverse jobs incubator, really, that's happening. And that's really about 1% of our state employment, which is now bigger than the coal and oil and gas sector and the number of people that they've been employing. So,
yeah, but Sharon, drill baby drill sounds so much better. It's a nicer slogan. Fits in a bumper sticker better than all that you laid out.
Yeah, so now we just want to capture that from the sun. And there's no, you know, there's no pollution that's coming with that. And that's something that we've dealt with across Pennsylvania. It was funny for me. I went and visited my hometown in Wellsboro in Tioga County this weekend and passed on the way home the Lumber Museum. You know, and that was sort of the beginning of big industrialization and using our resources for energy. And then I moved past the Drake Oil Well Museum, the first oil well here, and back into the Pittsburgh region where I'm from, where, you know, coal and now gas has been, you know, a major player. But we're no longer a coal state. We're a clean energy state.
And that's important. And again, it comes back to the policies. And the reason I keep going back to that is that we've got solar panels on our house back in 2011 before the SREC credits took a nosedive because of our policy leaders' ineffective leadership. We put panels on our house, and I love them. About Great. Almost half of our electricity is generated by those things that are up on my roof, which is fantastic.
Congratulations.
But because of, you know, again, wrong-headed policies, it's made it a little bit more expensive for people to get into it. And I think it's really, and by design, I believe, hindered the ability for solar to really take off in this state.
Yeah, you're right. And it's fabulous that you're one of the earlier adopters. And now we have over 8,000 solar owners in Pennsylvania. But you're right. But the cost of solar continues to drop. It's now cheaper than it was when we had the grant program that you participated in the Pennsylvania Sunshine Grant Program. But what the problem is, in Pennsylvania hasn't kept up with our neighbors. So we were a leader in renewable energy in 2004 when we passed those standards that said 8% of our energy will come from renewables. A 0.5% was to come from solar energy by the year 2021, which at the time was a pretty progressive policy, but now we know that we can far surpass that. And all of our neighboring states have increased their standards. And we've lost a lot of jobs in Pennsylvania in the solar industry and also in the wind industry. Because of our policies.
So and because of our short-sightedness. And really that, at the end of the day, is what it is. And this allegiance that the betting on the Marcellus shale gas going to be the energy of the future, which I would argue is not where we should be going, because it is dirty. It will pollute our water. It will pollute our air. Where, you know, heating your home and air conditioning your home with the sun seems kind of simple.
It seems like a no-brainer, right? It's a win-win-win. I mean, we can produce energy, we can create jobs, and we can save money at the same time. So it is really an all-win situation. And I think natural gas is a transition fuel, but we should be looking at it as that. And not, you know, we've already seen the price of gas drop, and we've seen a lot of these jobs quickly leave these regions where drilling was a boom for just a couple years.
Yeah, and that's that boom bust mentality, as where, you know, building an industry and really focusing a direction to me seems sane and logical in the fact that you want to keep those things local. You want to make sure that you have the ability to grow and expand and do the things that we really haven't done with any sustained thought, in my view.
It really is, and these jobs are, they're local, good-paying jobs. So you can't outsource someone putting solar panels on your roof or coming in to a building and putting in LED lighting or weatherization and insulation into a home. And we've got a lot of old building, leaky building stock in Pennsylvania. So there's a sort of almost an endless opportunity here to seal up those buildings, to put good lighting and appliances, and then adding distributed generation like solar.
Let me ask you this, Sharon, because I've been frustrated these last 8 years at the inability of our leadership to invest in the future of our country. I mean, you know, you look at the national level, we can't seem to get a transportation bill that's going to fix our infrastructure. We can't seem to get energy policy right that's going to do some of the things that you pointed out. There are tons of opportunities to put people back to work, rewiring our country, insulating our country, putting solar panels on, wind, whatever, doing all of this stuff that needs to be done. It just seems that short-sighted, tip-of-the-nose politicians have held us back, and I think are causing us our irreparable harm. So the question is, you know, in this group that you're part of, this environmental entrepreneurs group, is this something that you believe the private sector is going to be able to do, as where the public sector seems to be handcuffed and gridlocked away from being able to?
Yeah, and I think it's sort of a combination of both. And so we see the private sector moving ahead. You know, Walmart's the largest purchaser of solar in the country. There are lots of very large corporations that get it, and it's saving them money. So I think the private sector is far ahead, as you say, than the private or the public sector. But it also we get the government we deserve, right? So we need to participate in that process. And so at E2. What E2 is trying to do is to lift up that business voice to policymakers to say, listen, this is really helping our business to either install and use this technology, which in turn also creates jobs, or we're a business, a clean energy business that employs, energy auditors or people doing HVAC, and how that's really helping and shaping our business and creating jobs for people. So we're trying to lift up those stories, and as I, you know, we've mentioned, we've talked about how many people are already working in there, and we look at how many more jobs. We look at Massachusetts that has half the population of Pennsylvania, but twice the number of clean energy jobs, mainly because they have policies in place and they're seizing the opportunity.
Yeah, I wish my panels were in Massachusetts. Much better return. I mean, when I bought the SREC credits were like $225 per credit. They're down like 15 now.
That's great.
Because of short-sighted policy.
Based on their policy, right? Because people in other states, 13 other states, 12 other states can get credits in Pennsylvania for solar, and they're taking our credits. So we're basically subsidizing jobs in other states with our policy.
It's kind of amazing and really very short-sighted. And I think back to when, you know, a couple of years ago when my youngest daughter was four, in hitting your Walmart comment, we drove by the Walmart. She goes, Dad, why aren't there solar panels all over the Walmart roof? Why aren't there solar panels all over the place? And when a four-year-old is looking at it going, you know, why aren't we doing these things? It kind of makes you go, yeah, that's a good question. Why aren't we doing those things?
Exactly. My son says the same thing. He's 15, and he sees how excited I get about it. And he said, Mom, you know, when I'm your age, this is not going to be exciting because they'll be everywhere. And I really hope he's right.
But here's the thing. I mean, and I hope he is absolutely correct. But when I was that age, you know, you go back to the Carter years, we were thinking the exact same thing. That was the beginning of the revolution. We were going to change the world. And sadly, bad political decisions, bad people we voted for have stagnated us almost into the same space.
You're right. And I love to say, you know, to look at the bigger picture. So that really was the start. And there were things happening throughout the time. And a lot of these businesses really improved. The technology improved in the solar, and it brought us to where we are today. So we're at this really wonderful place, I think. While there isn't where we want to be yet, it's also at a very inspiring place in history where we are in this change of to the clean energy economy, and that's not changing now. Yeah, we're not going to be going backwards.
And for me, the idea is, like your tagline, for a good economy and a good environment, for the good of the environment, we've got to be doing smart things, which is why I'm glad you took a little time. Give us a bit of the report, Sharon. Thanks so much. Love to talk to you again.
Thank you so much, Rick. I appreciate the opportunity.
Anytime. Again, if you want to check out the website, e2.org, we've got a link at thericksmithshow.com. How you can check out the Environmental Entrepreneurs site. Quick break right back after this. Stick around. Listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.